All right, welcome back to another week in your Pharisee Free Zone. You are listening to Tal Prince Live on FaminateRadio.com. Glad to have you with us tonight. We don't know what's going on in your world because we just, you know, we need to hear from you. So we'd like to do that through our Facebook page tonight. So you can just hop in a discussion there at our Facebook page. That's just Tal Prince Live Radio, all one word. And then you can interact with us there. There's already a little bit of interaction in there as Becky Irby is not here tonight. She is on the road. And so Garrett is here. And lonely, and a lot more facial hair without the wife in town is what I'm noticing.
That's right.
So, yeah. So she's already made some posts because what we're going to be talking about tonight, I'll go ahead and tee this up for you, is just kind of TV programming, particularly as it is aimed towards kids. A lot of us were impacted by television programming as kids, and programming now is easier to get a hold of for our kids. It's harder for parents to monitor what their kids are actually watching due to smartphones, iPads, all types of streaming devices. Very, very difficult for parents to keep a keep tabs on what the kids are watching. We just don't really understand how media works very often. So we're going to talk about that tonight. Questions that we need to be asking of any show that we're watching, questions that we need to be asking of any media that we're engaging in, and questions that we need to be teaching our kids to be asking as they engage media, because it is everywhere. We live in a media-saturated culture. It is everywhere. It is unavoidable. And so we need to be kind of on the edge of this and being able to combat the messages that media is sending. And I'm not talking about the news media. I'm talking about just media in general, music, movies, TV, theater, all these types of things. So we need to be kind of thinking through, how do we do this in a gospel fashion? How do we ask questions of what we're watching for our own protection and for our own edification and sanctification and all these important things? But also, how do we train our kids up in the way they should go as it relates to media? So that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. So let me give you a quick rundown on who is in the house tonight. Immediately to my right, as is the norm, is my lovely wife, Teresa. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Thank you.
She's fantastic. I mean, that's awesome. I'm glad. And a really good nap for you today.
Yes, thanks for sharing that.
I wish I would have had a great nap today. I'd be fantastic too.
Well, yeah. That's probably true. So,
and I was not watching TV.
You were not.
Yes.
You were not taking in any media stimulation at that point. Just trying to keep from drowning. And so over here is Garrett. Garrett, how are you, man?
I'm doing well. Thank you, brother.
Very good. And then the prodigal studio guest. and I don't know if he's got any wrappers. I don't see any cellophane. But Jack Gilliland is back in studio tonight, and glad to have Jack here.
He did not bow down and kiss your feet or anything like that when he got here. They're the prodigal son's not supposed to do that, I don't think. That's another story.
Okay, so just the returning ragamuffin, Jack, is back. And so we're glad to have Jack. Glad to see Jack here tonight. And also, I don't know, they're not up here, but Mom and Cliff Barrels back in town. Back, they're asleep?
They're listening.
Oh, they're listening. Hi. Y'all are downstairs. Hi. How are you? And they may be asleep. That doesn't mean that they're not. But this is what we're going to engage tonight. Media. How do we handle it? How do we monitor what we're taking in? How do we ask questions of it, interact with it, and find the gospel in a lot of it? And how do we train up our kids? And how do we monitor what our kids are watching? Because this is one of the media's favorite arguments, right? Is, well, it's up to the parents to control what their kids are watching. But it's next to impossible when there's so many streaming devices and so many ways, around, typical parental controls. So we're going to talk about that tonight, and we love to get your input. You can do that through Tal Prince Live Radio on the Facebook page, or shoot me an email during the show to hope@talprincelive.com, and we will get that and get you on the. We'll get your question, input, opinion on the air as we go along. So we're coming right up on a break. Like how many seconds now? We got 2 seconds, 1 second, and we're going to break as far as we know. So we're going to jump to break right now. You are listening to Tal Prince Live on FaminateRadio.com. We will be right back. are some good people to question. The Rolling Stones. Speaking of questioning media and questioning messages that we get in the media, something that believers really need to be more active about, and you're going to hear this a lot out of me tonight and hopefully others here in the studio. I think we are often way too passive as we engage media, and we just kind of sit and let it act upon us, and we're not actively engaged with it. We're not actively wrestling it. We're not questioning. We're not doing anything. We're just kind of sitting there taking it in, because really, I understand at the end of a long day, you come home, you're just looking to veg out, looking just to, you know, look, I'm just looking for some mindless entertainment. Right? I mean, this is very often the mindset. You know, come on, I just want some mindless entertainment. I'm just trying to sit down. I'm going to watch TV, and I don't want to have to think. You know, so I'm just going to take this input in. You're thinking whether you believe that or not. You know, it's just, are you questioning anything? Are you really kind of pushing back and wrestling and kind of dissecting the messages that are coming to you? And many of us are not. Way too many of us are not. And so it's something that we all need to think through and get involved in. And so we're going to talk about that tonight. We're also going to talk particularly about how this affects us as parents, you know, parents of kids, and how the media has just instant access to our, you know, to children. And it has more access to your kids probably than you do if you really break it down, you know, because it's just kind of constant. They're around it all the time, especially in the age of this technology, you know, that we've got with the, you know, with the iPhone, the iPad, netbooks, all the different things, laptops, homes with Wi-Fi. You know, your kids can be watching things that, you know, now if you got the TV in the house, you know what the kids are watching, unless you have TVs in your kids' rooms, which I don't suggest, by the way. But if you've got like one TV in the house, you would think you got control over what they're watching, but you don't. As long as there's, you know, if there's Wi-Fi in the house and they got computers, or if they got a, you know, a 3G iPad or an iPhone,
or an Xbox that connects to Netflix.
Xbox, yeah, it connects to Netflix, connects to the internet. You know, because they've got all these devices, there's all these ways that they can be, you know, viewing inappropriate programming without your knowledge, without you being engaged in that battle with them. And so they're getting a lot of information. You've heard this here on the show several times. American young people are exposed to 14,000 sexually explicit references every 12 months. That's 40 times a day. 40 times a day, American young people are getting hammered with sexually explicit messages, not innuendo, but sexually explicit images, sexually explicit references. All this 40 times a day, they're hearing this. They're hearing it. They're seeing it. So we've got to be able to counter and wade into that. But you, first thing is, you need to know what's going on. I find really these days that most parents just really, really unaware of how often you know, inappropriate imagery and media is attacking the kids. They're just not aware. Truly stunned and shocked. You know, which I understand, but you know. If you're listening to this show at all, you're not shocked by this, and you know. But we've got to get in this game, but we also very often have to lead by example, which we're not often good at either. So this is because we think, well, this is a show that I'm capable of handling, you know. And then the kids come in, and you know, and I've been there 100 times, you know, and it's like, oh, man, you know, and I'll try and pause the TV or something, and you know, but. You know, kids can hear stuff. They can see stuff. You know, or you're watching a show you think's been edited for TV, but those restrictions have gotten much, much looser as to what they'll let pass. And this is one of the things. There's an article. We'll post a link to it. That appeared this week. About what are the most dangerous shows that your kids are watching without you. What are the most dangerous shows your kids are watching without you? And some of these shows are, you know, several of them are aimed right at teenagers. Gossip Girl made the list. And this, you know, is constantly, you know, constantly having sexual storylines. There's a lot of casual drug use on the show. There's a lot of these things going on. They've got kids going to strip clubs on this show because, you know, what group of teenage kids doesn't want to go to the strip club?
Yeah.
Really? You know, I mean, wow. So you've got that going on that show. And then on ABC Family, how many of us think because family's in the title of the network, well, that's probably safe. You know, I mean, honestly, I mean, you do. I do. I think ABC, well, it's family programming.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Right? So here they come with The Secret Life of the American Teenager. I'll just read this from the article. That this ABC family show about the unexpected pregnancy of a teenage character actually trumped Gossip Girl in the ratings for its season one finale. And critics say the show has strayed from its early message about teen pregnancy. When it was originally created, it was intended to be a cautionary showing. To be a cautionary tale showing a teenage girl who gets pregnant the first time she has sex. But for something that is supposed to be a cautionary tale, it plays like a soap opera. The issues simply are not dealt with in responsible ways on that show. Then you move down the list, American Dad, Two Broke Girls, which is a new show on CBS this season, which I do have to say I've not seen.
I've not seen the show,
so I can't hammer it from personal experience, but I can say that they have really inappropriate references on the show. From this article, there's jokes and about sexual functions. There's jokes about vibrators. There's jokes about all these types of things. On this show, and that airs in primetime on CBS. Again, showing you kind of the laxing of the TV standard of what can make air and what's on. Out there, American Horror Story. But then, the big ones, Teen Mom and 16 and Pregnant, both MTV productions. Have you ever seen Teen Mom, Garrett?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I love that show.
Awesome. Well, then you will be the resident expert. I've seen it a few times. Would you say that this show, because you've watched it, would you say that this show has glamorized the idea of teen pregnancy and made it look like, hey, that looks cool?
I don't think it glamorizes it, but I don't think that it really shows the negative consequences of it. I mean, it just kind of shows that, hey, life is difficult, and maybe they're having to do some things they wouldn't normally do. But, I mean, they're making it, and things are okay. That's kind of the gist of it. Things might not be how they dreamed they would be, but, hey, they've got a kid, and they're dealing with it, and that's life. And especially for there's one couple that's together, and they're very happy together, and they gave their kid up for adoption, and they have a great relationship with the adopted family as well. Mm-hmm. And so, you can still – they have struggles, and their parents are really – messed up on the show, and you just wonder, how are these kids at all normal with the parents that they have? But they're coming out really sweet kids. I mean, my wife and I have been like, man, I would just love to take those two kids out to dinner sometime or something. So they really come off as, some of them come off as sweet, lovable kids, others at other times, it really just comes down to, it's another teenage drama show, and they just happen to have babies.
More than one has been arrested for assault, let's just say.
More than one?
Yeah. There's been a couple of them been arrested for. Well, more than one of them has been arrested. Hmm. I should clarify, not necessarily for assault. Over the couple of seasons that the show has run, and the one has been arrested multiple occasions.
Yeah, Amber, whose picture is on the article that you forwarded out. She was hot. She was really mad at her boyfriend, the baby's daddy, and so she decided a good thing to help her with her anger was to go take boxing lessons.
Yeah,
and so the
help.
Next time she saw him, she tried out some of her new boxing moves on him, and man, she whapped him good.
And what a charming family message. Because what kid doesn't want to see mom beat the crap out of dad? Really. What do you got?
And I think on some of this, some of the damage we're not going to see until these poor kids are older. I mean, you think about kids, celebrities anyway, have trouble coping with growing up.
Mm-hmm.
But these children who their family's dirty laundry was just constantly played out on TV, that I can't imagine how that might impact some of...
And watching the show, I've seen, several times they're arguing about the kid, they're arguing about stuff, and this is not going to go away. This stuff's going to be, it's on the internet. It's always going to be there. So these kids are going to grow up and be able to go see footage of, 16-year-old mom and, 17-year-old dad, saying awful things about them and fighting about them, and doing all these things. That's not going to be good at all. And I've seen the show, several of the teens, kind of get out and they're trying to live on their own, and it looks like they may be making it, but they're also making bank for doing the show.
Mm-hmm.
So if it weren't for the show, the show to me makes it look a lot easier than it really is. It presents to me a very false picture of what it is to be a teenager and a mom. and, you know, or a teenager and a dad. I think it shows a just an outrageously unrealistic picture of what that looks like. Because if, you know, I mean, how many, let's just be honest, how many teenagers does everybody at this table know that has their own apartment? Anyone? I see no hands, so I'm going to take that as zero, except, you know, the kids on Teen Mom have apartments and, you know, they're, you know, out there making a go, but they're making serious bank for doing the show. So, I mean, I think that's a, you know, that's an issue that we got to kind of, you know, I mean, just, but this comes in asking questions of what's going on. Is this real? What, you know, just kind of, you know, deconstruct the message that's being sent, and it starts to fall apart pretty fast. But and these are the things that we're not doing. These are the things that we kind of have to, you know, wade into. But how many of us, let me just kind of shift gears for a second. How many of us have seen shows, you know, or were exposed to or saw shows as kids that we probably shouldn't have?
Oh, yeah. I did.
Yeah. You have anything else to say about that, or is it just, yeah?
I mean, I remember going to a movie with a friend and the parent. Mm. Not my parents, but their parents. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, unbelievable nudity and... Mm. And,
and how old were you when that happened?
15.
Wow. So 15, you went to a movie with a friend and her parents.
Mm-hmm.
That had, so back then, I mean, that was a hard R. That wasn't even a PG-13.
Right. Yeah.
So moms and dads, everybody listening, understand that, I mean, did your mom and dad know you were going to an R-rated movie, or were you just over at a friend's house and we're going to the movie?
Yeah, it wasn't a big deal. I mean, it just wasn't a big deal, but then I got in there and I knew how uncomfortable I felt in what they were doing and watching it.
Okay.
And it was actually a mixed gender group.
Wow. Uncomfortable with what they're doing on screen, or uncomfortable with
what they were doing on screen and then seeing the, I mean, here we are with the parents and it never got talked about.
Oh yeah. No. Yeah. See, I mean, there's the thing. No one's going to talk about it,
mm-mm.
You know, because the parents, I'm guessing,
they didn't know that was coming.
Right.
So I get that.
Yeah. You would hope they did not know that was coming.
No. I mean, I think she was as surprised as we were, but you know, looking back now, I don't remember a ton of stuff from my childhood. Mm-hmm. I vividly remember walking out of that movie theater.
Wow. So, but you stayed for the whole movie.
Oh, yeah.
See, I mean, you see how easy it can happen. I mean,
about last night, I think that.
Holy cow, really?
Demi Moore?
Oh, yes. Are you serious? Holy
stunned.
Dude. Wow. I'm sorry. There's no way they did not know that was coming. I mean, that was based on a play there's no way they didn't know that was coming.
Okay. I didn't. Parents didn't.
I shouldn't be assuming that, but I'm thinking, wow, there's nobody that did not know what that movie was about when it came out. There was a lot of controversy about it right before it aired, before it hit the theaters. I mean, there's a lot of news stories about it. Everybody knew what was going down. And I was active in addiction at that point, so I was there opening nights because I knew what was going to be in that.
And I had no idea. So, I mean, teens can equip themselves to. That is never a movie I would have chosen.
Yeah.
So, teens today, you can do some research before you go and not be caught off guard.
We're going to give you those tools when we come back from the break. You're listening to Tal Prince Live on FamilyNetRadio.com. We will be right back. All right.
Well, I'm busted.
Welcome back. You are listening to Tal Prince Live on FamilyNet Radio. We're glad to have you with us. And again, you can join us for the discussion in our Facebook page. That's just Tal Prince Live Radio there at Facebook. Love to have you join us. I do want to point out what Becky has written here as she is on the road in Philadelphia. But one of the things that, you know, she's posted here that her parents did not monitor TV in their house. And I was the youngest of three, 8 years younger than the oldest sibling. And that happens a lot, too, when you got a much older brother or sister in the house, because the controls on that kid are different, but, you know, everything kind of laxes down towards the young ones. You're far more protective of the first one. And then by the second, you're the rules are getting looser. And the third one, you know, they're swinging from the chandelier. Nobody really cares. Like, they'll be fine. So. So here's Becky Zhu, the youngest of three, 8 years younger than the oldest. We watched rated R movies as a family when I was young and would get to go to your room or go in the hallway during certain scenes. And there's a lot of parents that this is the defense.
Yeah, yeah. My parents are the exact same thing.
Yeah.
It was close your eyes or hand over the eyes.
Oh, yeah.
Hand over the eyes.
The handmade mask.
Close your eyes. Hey, would you run to the kitchen and get dad a drink? Go get me a Coke. Go make some popcorn. Go get, you know, I mean, there's a million ways that parents can send the kids out of the room. And a lot of us really, you know, experience that, or a lot of us do that. And we think that this is really teaching the kids, you know, or we're keeping it from them is really. I mean, this is really the message, is we're, you know, that's the strategy. Is we'll just, they won't see it and they won't know.
Or I think saying, this is wrong for you, this is wrong for you, without the discussion around it to let them ask those questions and work it out. It's going to pique that interest. They're going, you know, to try and find the answers. Mm-hmm. And so if we're not willing to talk about it, that's the biggest thing.
Yeah. Because catch Becky's next comment. She says, you know, of course, that only piqued interest.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it does. It's like, why can't I see that? I really need to see that now, because I know mom and dad do not want me to see it. I must see it, and I will do whatever I got to do to get there, find it, see it. And now, I mean, you know, back in the day when we were kids, you didn't have the DVRs. You know, we didn't have, you know, you couldn't record. You know, and you didn't have the search functions on the TV either, because, you know, you didn't have Hulu and you didn't have all these things. Because I'm telling you, the kids can find whatever you don't want them to find. It's available. You know, so, I mean, back when we were kids, it aired on TV. That was it. It was gone. You know, I mean, once that tape ran through, that was it. That, you know, the scene was gone. Not anymore. It's available all the time.
Yeah,
it is available anywhere all the time. They can find it, and very often it will find them. You know, and if they can't find it, one of their friends at school can, and they'll show them the ropes on that. And so these are things that happen. One of the resources that I do want to just go ahead and make you aware of now, that is something that, you know, as an active, you know, addict for years, I never would have done this. But as a recovering addict now, just knowing what my boundaries are in terms of movies and things that I can see, can, you know, or don't need to see, don't need to, you know, because I'm not trying to make decisions for all of you. I'm not the stay away from media guy. I'm not the, look, you're a Christian, you cannot go to R-rated movies unless they involve the crucifixion of Jesus. That's not my standpoint. That's not it at all, okay? I believe that we should be engaged in media. We should be engaged in culture. We should not be isolating. We should not be separating. And we should never be doing any of that. We need to interact with it, but we need to do so responsibly. So I found this resource for myself in recovery. So to know what was kind of coming in movies. And it is called PluggedIn.com. It's actually from Focus on the Family. They do really, really good movie reviews there, where they will tell you as a parent or as an individual, here's some tough messages in this movie, some bad messages in this movie. Here's how much profanity is in this film. Here's the nudity. If there's nudity, if there's sexual activity, it's going to tell you that. It's going to break it down for you. Which as a parent is indispensable. You know, and as an individual, if you struggle with areas and things triggering you, it's very, very helpful, because I don't need to walk into a movie and get something that I wasn't prepared for, you know, because I didn't do my homework on the film. You know, so I can do that through this resource, and I use it all the time. But they do also do TV, you know, there. So they also do music. There's a lot there for you to look at. But I really do lean heavily on them for the movie. You know, the questions about movies, just to find out what's in this that I need to be concerned about. What do I need to think about? What do I need to, do I need to just avoid this movie altogether? So these are really, really good resources. Want to make these available to you, and we may have some others as we go. But that's a major one. And it's not your typical kind of, it doesn't just hammer, you know, any movie. You know, it's going to tell you no matter what the message of that movie is, it's going to break out positive and negative elements. It's going to tell you what's positive about it. It's going to break down any spiritual content. It's going to throw that out for you. Positive or negative, it's going to throw that out. But, you know, like, you know, here's, you know, and I often wonder, like, who, you know, sits and watches the movie with a steno and is counting, you know, and how they're tracking. But I'm just looking at the review for My Week with Marilyn, you know, and so it's the, there are seven F words. There's one S word. You know, Jesus' name is taken in vain half dozen times. God is misused two or three times. So they missed the count on that one.
Two
you know,
or three.
But, you know, but so, I mean, the thing is, that is helpful, but I don't know why I chuckle at the, you know, they're like counting. I just, you know, I see some person like sitting in the theater, you know, I don't know. I shouldn't be making fun of that.
Yeah. I think the whole, and this might be aside from the topic, but just the whole rating system in general is so just, I mean, it's just up to the opinion of just a couple of people. And if so, like if they've got a movie that maybe would get like an NC-17 rating, then they could push it through to get like an R rating instead of an NC, when it should have gotten an NC-17 rating. And it's just something as small as taking like 2 seconds out of a scene can make the difference between like an NC-17 and an R rating. So it's so crazy how those ratings are made up.
Yeah. The ratings are, it's all very, very subjective. There's, you know, there's not just hard and fast rules on it. There used to be, and it used to be a lot tighter, you know, because there was no nudity at all. It was PG. There was no nudity at all in that. You had to, you know, any nudity, any at all, R, automatic. Any F-bomb, automatic R. Not anymore. You can get F-bombs, you can get R, you can get nudity in PG-13 films. Now, even PG-13 didn't allow any of that, but it does now. Because that's a moving standard. Understand that. That is a moving standard because it's a different committee rolling in there all the time to come up and rate the film. Those people change all the time. And so, and they're going not by here's the rules, but they're going by cultural norm. So cultural norm is always shifting.
When they're the ones that are, and many times, shifting the cultural norm too, or pushing it forward.
enjoy the irony. Yeah, right. And that gets to the, that gets to, you know, these are the things that we don't do. These are, this is where media deconstruction is important. This, the things we have to be asking and interacting with any media that we see, because you have to. And this is from the media literacy website. And we'll punch the link up here. But these are really good key questions. And this is not from a religious point of view. This is not a Christian driven thing. This is just media literacy in general. But here are their five key questions that they want you to ask of any media that you're consuming, or to help your kids ask these questions. Who created this message? Because do not miss the fact that there is a message in everything. All right. I don't care how many people tell me I don't listen to the lyrics. Your brain does. You know, I just listen to the music for the beat. Yeah, that's cute. You are hearing the message and you're being bombarded by it. Mm-hmm. And you know, if you're in a top 40 radio market, a top 10 song, you're going to hear it between 20 and 30 times a day. Okay, so that message is pounding at your brain and getting in, whether you think so or not. You know, I got volumes of research on that, so it's there. So you have to ask, who created this message? You know, so I mean, is this, you know, who did this? Is this, you know, is this Billy Graham? Is it Joel Osteen? Is it Mick Jagger? Is it, you know, is it Michael Feinstein? Who is it? Who created the message? And then what creative techniques did they use to attract my attention? It's a great question. You know, what are they using to get my attention? What is it? What is it about? Is it the way that, is it visual? Is it musical? What about the visual technique are they using to get my attention? Is it nudity? It gets a lot of people's attention. Is it color? What are they using? What are the creative techniques they're using? And how might different people understand this message differently? You know, and there is a great venue for the Christian, you know, to ask, how do non-believers grasp this? How are non-believers seeing this? And how are other believers seeing this? You know, so we have to look at that. Then what values, lifestyles, and points of view are represented in or omitted from this message? That is my favorite question of the five, mm-hmm. by the way. What values, lifestyles, and points of view are represented in or omitted from this message? You will often find, if you will have yourself, if you will just ask yourself these questions as you go through, or if you will ask your kids, you will be stunned at the number of times that the Christian point of view is omitted or grossly stereotyped negatively. Okay? And that is a key thing to look at. You know, so you have to bring that in, and then you have to ask honestly, you know, what the lifestyles, points of view, and opinions and values are being represented. You know, what are they? You know, what is this point of view? What are the values that go along with that point of view? What are they saying? What are they trying to teach in this? Because there is not a show that doesn't have a point of view. There's not a show that is not preaching a value message, that is not preaching a point of view and preaching values and lifestyles. You know, I mean, you know, we love Modern Family. We watch Modern Family all the time, you know, but you do have, you've got the gay married couple, you've got the whole tension with that, you know, and they are, I mean, you know, they were ramping that storyline up, now they're throttling it back, but I mean, that's there. And so we've got to deal with that, but that's part of culture. And so we deal with it. We're not running from it. We're running to it and just filtering it through the gospel. You're listening to Tao Prince Live, FeminineRadio.com. We'll be right back. Welcome back, Tao Prince Live on a Sunday night here at Feminette Radio. We are glad to have you with us, and thank you, baby. So glad to have you with us and talking about this topic a little bit tonight. And obviously, this is a deep topic, and we can spend, you know, so much time on this, like we can every week. You know, I mean, an hour goes by fast for us. Y'all may be, you know, thinking, when is this going to end? But I doubt it, because you can always, you know, close your browser window.
Yeah.
But this is an important one, and I'm glad we're talking about it. And don't know if y'all have any questions as we go. I don't have any, but really kind of what sparked this was our good friend Crystal Renault last week. Crystal posted that here's a show topic suggestion. There's a new show on TLC called The Virgin Diaries, where they're chronicling the lives of adult virgins. And she said that so far from what she can gather, it's just making fun of people who have chosen to wait or who are socially awkward and haven't formed relationships yet. Pretty much placing the virgin, you know, in a crazy box for all of America to see and buy into. And so you see the crafting of the message, that if this is the way that show is actually being done, that it's, hey, let's show how odd the virgin mindset is, and let's show how weird they are, and that most of them are really virgins because they're socially awkward. They hadn't had an opportunity to have a relationship yet to get to a point where sex would come onto the table. So you know, and you see that. But if you look at those questions, you know, and talk about who created this message. All right, so let's dig in to, you know, find out who's making the Virgin Diaries. You know, who's the producer of that show? What is their mindset? What is the, you know, start to rock through these questions. And again, please hear that I'm not saying don't watch the show. I'm saying don't just sit there and passively let it program you or your friends or your kids. Don't let it passively just kind of move the social norm. Because this is very often what happens. You know, they start making jokes. You know, homosexuality would have never been on television years and years ago. I mean, you know, Jack was talking during the break that, you know, the only thing he had to deal with was like when the Beatles came on Ed Sullivan. You know, you throttle back to them, I mean, the first big scandal on TV was Elvis Presley. That was like the first TV scandal. I mean, you know, you had Ozzy and Harriet and Lucy and Ricky, and they were sleeping in twin beds. I mean, completely unrealistic, but it was like, we can't let it be known that any married couple is having sex. So we're going to put them in twin beds, though they somehow have kids. Mm-hmm. So, you know, here they are, and then it's Elvis, and that's scandalous. And you think about how anybody views the Elvis thing of him shaking his hips. And so when he's on Elvis, and when he's on Ed Sullivan, they only filmed him waist up. You think about how ridiculous that sounds today, because the needle has moved so far. But that's because media drives that move. People are creating a message, and they are crafting that message to move and gain power and, you know, and push their viewpoint out. This is why they do it. And they've got a right to do that. You just need to not sit and passively take it in. You need to wrestle with it. And if you're watching TV with the kids or you're watching movies with the kids, you need to kind of move in and start asking these questions, teaching them to interact with it.
And it's on every – it's not just on ABC, NBC, Fox. Mm-hmm. It is – it's on Nickelodeon, Disney.
Oh, yeah.
You know, those are not – I mean, I was shocked. as a family, you can't watch every channel and keep up with all of them. But yeah. I was shocked at the ones, a few of them that I was like, mm-mm. And then hearing other families that, you know, ones we had never seen, and then they explained yeah. why. So, I mean, there's definite a need for parents to be there and the TV mm-hmm. not to be a numb out tool,
right?
But an interactive family communicating
tool. Easy
to
make the TV a babysitter, right? I mean, it's very easy. It's very tempting. There are times it's like, I look.
Well, if you need it, a video that you know mm-hmm. you've seen and you know is a much safer option than mm-hmm. TiVo and.
Mm-hmm. Yes. You know, these are the, you know, these are the things, because, you know, and listen, we do not have this perfected. You know, we're not here as the experts on this. We don't have it perfected. We've got a 10 and a 7 year old and we're rocking through this. And there are times we come in because it's very easy to go, that's Disney Channel.
And be like, what did they just say?
Holy crap. You know, I mean, you know, you roll out and you know, now in fairness on that, it's usually, it's never a sexual innuendo on that, but it's usually attitude or things like that. But here's messages that do come out is the parents are kind of idiots.
Well, and it is. I mean, a lot of 6 and 7 year old kids really want to watch the shows where they're set in a high school
yeah.
and they're kissing. And
yeah.
so.
Yeah.
Yep. That it does all. I mean, we go, why are our kids so advanced? Well, because yeah. at 7, yeah. their favorite shows are high schoolers who are planning their first kiss.
Yeah, it's one of the more nutty things I've seen is, you know, as parents of like toddlers and, you know, 4 and 5 year olds at Disney, you know, decked out in High School Musical gear. It's like, wow. No, please no. You know, but this, you know, but you think it's Disney. Come mm-hmm. on, it's Disney. So, I mean, it's a very easy just to relax, you know, and think, well, that's a family organization. You know, but you have to come back to these questions and just wrestle with them. I'm just saying, whatever media you're watching, you know, I mean, if it were a Christian TV show, I'd be asking these questions. You know, well, okay, you know, what crew did this? You know, and what, and how might other people, different people, understand this message? How, you know, because I want to ask that from how does a person who is not a believer in Christ, how are they understanding this message? What are they doing with it? How are they processing it? You know, and usually I'm embarrassed. But you know, I mean, we just watch and I don't think so. You know, so that's, I mean, this is the thing, right? I mean, so how do we, I posted these, 5 key questions and the 5 core concepts, there at the Facebook page, if you want to check that out. But here are a couple of others that I didn't read on there is, that all media messages are constructed. All right. It doesn't just happen. It is constructed. There is a narrative to it. There is a message they are trying to convey and whatever it is they are doing. Songs, TV, movies, whatever it is. Media messages are constructed using a creative language that has its own rules. Particularly, I mean, think about songwriting, you know, if you're struggling with that one, you know, it has its own rules. I can use the word any way I want to use it. I can, you know, particularly in rap. I mean, you know, holy cow, I mean, you know, they make up words, to, you know, so that it rhymes and, you know, you get the point. Different people experience the same media message differently. Media have embedded values and points of view, and most media messages are organized to gain, protect power. And that's what's going down. That's what's going down. So you just have to be aware of that for what you view and listen to and for what your kids view and your kids listen to. You know, I'm always amazed at just dissecting song lyrics. I mean, that's one of my favorite things to do is look at song lyrics and just dissect what's going on. You know, and if you're a top 40 radio listener or the parent of a top 40 radio listener, you need to routinely hit Billboard. Look what the top 10 songs are. Just pick the top 10. All right. Look at those top 10 songs. And then you need to go to any one of the thousands of lyric sites on the internet and read the lyrics of the current top 10 songs. Because again, these are songs in any top 40 radio market are going to be played between 20 and 30 times a day. And now you don't have to wait, and your kids don't have to wait for the radio to play them, because now they have iPods. And so, you know, the kids can pull any song up whenever they want it. And if you're not watching their account and if you're not listening to the lyrics or reading the lyrics before your kids buy these things, you have no idea. And you know, when we were kids, I couldn't listen to a lot of stuff because we didn't have headphones. It was just, play it loud on the stereo in a room and there you go. And so I couldn't let mom hear any bad lyrics or anything. So we didn't know how I got the Kiss albums in the house. I don't know. But anyway, there's that. But now that, they got earbuds in, they're listening. They're completely disconnected from you, and you have no idea what they're listening to. And I cannot tell you how many parents have told me, my kids don't have any bad music on their iPod. And I've gotten a hold of their iPod and I'm going, hey, would you like to see?
Well, and you don't even have to buy the music. I mean, YouTube, there's any song you want to find.
Yeah, that's right.
So, I mean, there's, before you had to know someone that bought it or catch it on the radio. And they call, there's just...
It's so much easier now.
Floodgates are open.
Yeah. There's no controls. And so it is everywhere. It is free. Now you've got Spotify. You've got Mog. You've got Groove Shark. You've got all these ways to go to listen to music free on the internet. Plus, you can go watch the videos on YouTube, Vimeo, Vevo. There's all kind of places to go to watch the music videos. Your kids are doing that, listening to it on earbuds. And so you don't know. You're not hearing the lyrics. And so if you're not going to read the lyrics, you're really missing the boat. I mean, it's really dangerous.
And really, the good thing in that, I wish the floodgates weren't open.
Yeah.
But our parents could live under this false security of I'm not allowing this in the house.
Mm-hmm.
I control the money, But we know our children have access in 30 seconds. They can get to it if they are away from us or at a friend's house or at the library.
Mm-hmm.
So it's calling parents to a day where we have to equip our children to make those decisions, to at least think through the choice they're making. And if they're letting that in, it is going to have consequences on them. Not so much we're going to punish you, but it is going to live out in your life somehow.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it's coming. Like, I'm just, I'm pulling up. The top song right now on iTunes, top downloaded song. I'm Sexy and I Know It. Awesome.
I made the lyrics.
And then we found Love on Rihanna. By Rihanna. Good Feeling by Flo Rida. I'm gonna go out on a really big limb here and say all three of those songs are gonna have pretty radical sexual content. I said this down in Houston, kind of tongue in cheek. Rihanna had a big hit last week, last year, which, the lyrical content was, whips and chains excite me. That's a stone faced lie, or she'd still be dating Chris Brown. Let's just be honest. Right. Because, he was smacking a fool out of her. So if she likes whips and chains, she'd still be with that dude. She doesn't, but it sells records. And we're buying it. Our kids are buying it. Our kids are listening to it. And we don't know. We just don't know, because this is, I cannot tell you how many parents think that their kids don't have anything inappropriate on their iPod. And there's one parent that I know that says that. And I know that I assume it to be true because I know he polices really, really well. I mean, he's got the password on the iTunes account. She can't download anything without his permission, and he's got to know about it. And when she tells him what song she wants to download, he goes, he reads the lyric, he finds it, he reads the lyrics, he listens to it first, and then he'll say yes or no.
Mm.
And she's a junior in high school. I mean, dude is like serious about, but he has conversation. It's not just like, no, you can't listen to that. He knows she's heard it.
Yeah.
They have a conversation about it, have a conversation about why you don't need to pay to support that and why you don't need to own that. And then let's look at, let's look at scriptural, wisdom here as to what we ought to be focusing on, what our minds ought to be on. And let's talk, does this song match that yardstick? So it's really effective. And these are things that we ought to be doing.
And I see that as such an investment in that child.
Yes.
And those conversations are going to be there, even if she's at a friend's house and they listen to that song again. It's not out of that rebellious, oh, they told me I wasn't, ha, watch me, I've got access. But, I mean, likely she'll hear her father's voice saying, this is why that song scares me for you, or this is why that song, which voice would you rather your child be hearing, even if they are making the choice you wish they wouldn't be?
Right. That's the deal. I mean, do you want your kids running with the message of, I've got to hide this from mom or dad? Or do you want them armed with how to answer back and how to question culture and media and how to just kind of wade into that and go, it's really, it's not that they are not wanting me to hear that. they taught, mom and dad taught me to walk through how negative that is and how harmful that could be for me. And you know, really, if you break it down, if you break lyrics down to kids, most of them very often get disgusted by it and don't want it because they weren't tracking it.
Yeah.
They're being programmed by it, but they weren't tracking it. You're listening to Tao Prince Live, FeminineRadio.com. We'll be right back.
When I was a kid, early on my own, I took the highway to be my home when the blues overtook me. When I was a little child.
All right, welcome back. Tao Prince Live on Feminine Radio on a Sunday night. Glad to have you with us. I hope you've been challenged by this a little bit tonight. And I do want to quickly say I was correct on the lyrics of Sexy and I Know It. You know, let me just give you one of the fantastic lyrical lines. I've got passion in my pants and I ain't afraid to show it. I'm sexy and I know it.
That don't even need to be broken down. It's just right there on the surface.
Come on. I mean, there you go. So,
there's that.
But I do need to say I was incorrect on We Found Love by Rihanna. I cannot see anything specifically sexual in that. There's not a lot of lyrics other than We Found Love in a Hopeless Place. That's pretty much the lyrical content of the song. There's a couple of verse, little lines, but nothing overtly sexual in that. So I'll have to say I apologize for saying that. That probably did because it did not, but I'm dead right on Flo Rida and Good Feeling. So two out of three, I'm correct. But if you roll through the top 10, a Meatloaf reference for me. But if you rock through the top 10, you're going to see a lot of that. But these are things you can do. Just go. I mean, azlyrics.com. There's a million lyric sites to go and look at. So I mean, you just need to manage the media coming into the house, question it, debate it. Argue with it, examine it under the light of Scripture, bring it under. This is part of taking every thought captive. This is not, this was not something that we're to neglect. This wasn't a, hey, you know, it's probably a good idea if you do this. No, we are to take every thought captive, and this is how we do that. You have to break it down, deconstruct it, argue it, and see. One of the things that many of us forget is that evil is always hunting, right? I mean, you know, evil is always hunting you, hunts me. And the more I am passive with media, the easier it is to get to me. And so if I'm not questioning everything coming in and bringing that down under the light of the gospel and under the light of the word and bringing that thought captive to go, should this thought be allowed in, you know, or am I debating this, you know, or is this going to move me, change me, all these things. These are things that we need to be doing, and we got to be teaching our families to do. We got to be teaching our kids to do. We got to be teaching other brothers and sisters in Christ to do, because we're not going to be able to avoid this. I mean, you know, the commune strategy has been tried. That doesn't go. So we live in this world, and this is where we are, and don't think that it's, you know, like so much worse of a world right now than it ever has been. It's always been this messed up. You know, you go back, I mean, you know, Garrett has heard me say this a million times just in one lecture before, but you know, we live in Corinth. I mean, that's where we are. The Corinth that Paul faced was uber sexualized. This is the way it was. They just didn't have the technology that we do to mass produce the carnage that we do these days. So, so we have to bring these thoughts captive, wrestle it, deal with it, and have open conversations with ourselves, with our friends, with our kids, with our families, with our with people you do small group with, whoever that is. You got to be questioning the media. This is what I want to tell you. I think I've made that point a few times tonight. So I know we're 1 minute. Anybody here have anything to say?
No, I'm just excited about the opportunity for parents to equip their kids to make the decisions and have discussions and not just feel policed. And that is going to set them up for marriage. I mean, way more than just their music choices, their friendships, their marriage.
Right.
Right. Yeah, and you put those helpful resources up on the Facebook page. Is that right?
Yep.
All right, cool, cool.
They are there. If you want to go to Tao Prince Live Radio there at Facebook, you can see we've got those media questions, you know, and kind of the core media concepts. Those are there. The Plugged In website is there. I'll go ahead and post a link to a lyrics site so that you can check that. But Plugged In will cover your movies, your TV, some music. It'll do a lot of that for you. Video, DVD releases, all that. You can check that there. We'll get a lyrics site up for you. And so you are armed. You cannot say you don't know. All right. So there you go. Thanks for listening. We will be back next week. So thanks for listening to Tao Prince Live on FeminineRadio.com. We will be back next week.